Intertextual Cardboard Experience.
Hello, and welcome to Intertextual Cardboard Experience, where we welcome our snare-tastic 33rd guest, Candace Harris. How are you doing today?
I love that. I've never been called snare-tastic. That's amazing. I'm great, Ryan. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on. And yeah, I have to become a little more inventive with my alliterative made-up adjectives. So this is where we're at.
It's great.
But yeah, we are just kind of chatting before start, and you've been working for BGG for a while now, and have been working on all sorts of different projects and podcasts and doing all sorts of, obviously the main one being the Board Game Geek podcast itself, but like three or four other ones that are kind of like rumbling through. But excited to kind of like maybe talk about that, talk about some of the other interviews that I've heard, and have this be in conversation. And obviously your game is going to link to the conversation as well, because we are going to be talking about music, which I don't really know what, I'm not a music expert. And then board games, so.
Yeah, my two favorite things.
That is perfect. So, yeah, a couple of the ones, the episodes that I've listened to where you've kind of explicitly talked about music were your Board Game Geek podcast with Jackie Fox, where you talked about a lot of games that have that theme or setting or just some musical link to it. And then you were also on the Five Games for Doomsday podcast. And I really liked, I mean, I like both of them. Sorry, I like that one because it was fun, where your musical like background and your story kind of were interwoven between the games that you chatted about. So
yeah, Ben is awesome. Jackie is too, of course. Yes. But that was cool. That was my first time actually like meeting Ben, and he's just like such a fantastic host, and I love the premise of that. It was so hard to figure out the games though. And honestly, it would probably change right now.
It could be like, hey, what do you have me back? It'll be five different games. But I liked your choices. I haven't played them all, but I liked the logic and kind of what you're working through. So that was fun.
Thanks.
But yeah, on that episode in particular, you're talking about your musical journey, basically from when you first started playing instruments in elementary school to, you know, through high school, college, and then the bands that you are a part of. And obviously, we mentioned the game that we'll talk about a little bit later, upcoming Rivals of Rock. So music is still like a huge part of your life. So I'm just kind of curious as to like how you would describe like where you're at right now with your journey and relationship to music.
That is a really good question. So for most of my life, like you said, like I played in like school bands and everything. Like I wanted to be a part of every music related activity at school. And then as I started playing drum set, and I would, you know, dive deep into it, like I've started reading Modern Drummer magazine. I don't even know if it's still around. Hopefully it is. even if it's like a web thing nowadays. But I would learn about drummers from that. And then I would start listening to their bands. And it took me through over like years, like a lot, introducing me to a lot of different types of music. Like I had a hard rock phase where I was listening to like Disturbed and Korn and Tool. And then like at some point I had this like indie rock phase where I was just like listening to like the Shins and Decemberists and stuff like that. And I have phases where I go deep into jazz, and then sometimes like really like weird psychedelic jazz, and just to more like straight ahead stuff. So it kind of like depends on the day or the month, like what I was like kind of getting into music wise. And then like I learned about a lot of music from playing in some cover bands. Like there are just certain things. You know, my family, my dad was a guitarist and listened to like lots of different types of music, but I am black. And like, there were some things that I had never heard until I started playing in cover bands. And it's really cool because that like I think what one of the ones was the band, like, "Take a Load Off Fanny." You know, like that's a very popular song. And I didn't know about it until I joined this cover band and they were like, "We're gonna play this song." So I would like I was discovering music through playing music with different groups and everything. But at some point, then I moved to LA, started a band out here. It was great, and but at some point, it kind of burned me out a bit. Like we had some personnel issues. I was like the band leader. And so, and I'm very much like an empath, and I'm trying to be diplomatic and make sure everybody's happy and everything. And eventually, it just kind of like stressed me out and to a point where I had to take a break from it. And that's kind of like when I got into board games. And like, there was a good like 3 or 4 month period where I wasn't listening to music at all. Like, I could not listen to music. And so I would just like drive in silence. Like I wasn't even listening to podcasts or anything. And then eventually I gradually started listening to music again. And sometimes it was weird. Like I would hear a song I've loved and start crying and stuff. And so this it was like a very weird time for me in like 2018. But gradually I got back into music because I was the one that would stay up all night, like if I discover a drummer and like want to listen to everything they played, and then, oh, they play with this person, oh, I like that guitar, so no, you know, and I would just like listen to music all the time, and that kind of like dialed back, but it has and now been replaced with like board games because now I'm like watching board game videos, learning about board games and everything. But now, like, I'm back into music. I don't get to like play that much. Like, we have guitars around the house. I have a little tiny kit that I set up every once in a while and maybe jam with some brushes. Occasionally, we'll do like some studio work or gigs with people. Very rarely, though. I'm not playing as much, but I'm definitely still listening and discovering awesome bands. Like there's a band called Good Tiger that I got into like a year ago, and that's kind of like if I was gonna like talk about music that I love, usually it has some kind of like progressive element to it. Like Mars Volta, Bjork, like stuff that is different and unique and complex sometimes, where you have to like, you don't even like it initially, and then you keep listening and you're like, oh, like I get it. So that's a long answer to right now, I am still discovering bands that I love. I'm definitely not as like deep with music at the moment because I'm so deep with board games. But they kind of go hand in hand, especially when I get excited about an album I've discovered and I just want to like listen to it over and over again.
Yeah, that's awesome. Kind of like where you're at now, and like you said, they go hand in hand. You've had a couple conversations that I mentioned how they do go hand in hand. Hopefully, this will uncover some of those elements too. And yeah, I mean, obviously, that stretch of, I think you said 4 months sounds like it was tough. I mean, like that's like a really tough thing, especially because. You're probably thinking about the absence and not like feeling it with something else, so.
Yeah, and it was kind of like it was a thing where I was questioning, like, I've been playing drums for so long and it's been like associated with my identity, and I'm like, have I only been doing this because of how I feel when people react to, oh, a female drummer that like rocks and hits hard or whatever? And I'm like, oh, that's me. That's exciting, you know? Or is it like something I truly like just want to do for me? And so I was kind of like struggling with that and questioning that because, you know, there's so many years. Like, my mom is like always so proud of me. Like, oh, it's my daughter playing the only quad player in marching band. Oh, that's my daughter, you know? And I think it's like somewhere half and half where I was like riding that wave of like making people in my life, happy, sort of. And, yeah. And then I would always, when I would play gigs, I would always be very anxious beforehand. Like, I could not eat. And then, of course, like when we start, then I'm in there. And I'm like also most of the time setting up my kit. Like, if everything's not, even if I'm using like a house kit, like if everything's not right where it feels good to me, that like would stress me out. And 'cause sometimes you're getting rushed. Do you play music, Ryan? Oh no, you said
Oh
no, you
no,
don't.
that's why you're here. You're here to guide me through this musical journey.
Nice.
I think I from listening to the five games for Doomsday, you kind of mentioned in the elementary school to split, like you pick, you're doing choir or orchestra or band. So
Yeah.
I played the baritone for like 3 years.
Nice. There
Yeah.
you go. There you go.
Yeah, I didn't dislike it. It just, I don't know. It was also like middle school time, and well,
Yeah.
let's not talk about middle school. Oh,
Fair, fair.
okay. Well, before kind of get into this very random anecdote that I have, you mentioned some that you were in like a lot of different bands, cover bands do it, and then the group that you were kind of leading for that time before, that kind of fizzled out. So what, this is random. What's the favorite name of a band that you've been a part of?
Well, I will say Zookeeper's Palace. And it happens to be one that I came up with, so I'm biased. But I feel like it really represented our sound. Like, it really, like, especially when we got someone to design a logo with this, like, it was like a head with all this stuff kind of fusing out of it. And our sound was very, like, I called it like tribal space rock. And so, like, Zookeeper's Palace just fit. Like, we were very rhythmic as a band. We're very groovy. We're very, like, different. And it also, the way I came up with that name was a band that I love that actually inspired a lot of stuff that I wrote, probably for that project, but is a band called Mew, MEW, from Denmark. And I was thinking about, like, oh, Radiohead got their name from a Talking Heads song. And like, there are a lot of bands that have their band names are based on a song from another band. So I started thinking, like, oh, I love this band, Mew, Zookeeper's Palace. And later I realized I inadvertently combined two of their songs together into the title. So they have a song called The Zookeeper's Boy. And they have a separate song on a separate album called Introducing the Palace Players. And so I kind of like meshed those together where I just thought it was one of their song titles. And I don't know, I was always just like really happy with our logo and the music we produced. It just like really fit that. But yeah, that's got to be it. But right before Zookeeper's Palace, the pre-band to that was a band I started with some people called Me and My Giant. And that was straight up from a Shel Silverstein poem. I don't remember if it's from Light in the Attic or something, but I liked that name too. And that band was actually, I was really sad to like see that fizzle out because there was a lot of potential there. And it was like, we had a female vocalist who had a very soulful voice, but we were doing like that, like kind of post-hardcore rock, but like groovy and all the stuff that I'm like into. And Yeah. So, but that fizzled into starting Zookeepers and, had many great years with that band, with my bandmates in that project. My partner Matt was in that band with me. He was also in the band where I met him in Philly, that was more straight ahead rock. Had a blast with that too. But Zookeeper's Palace is my answer.
All right. I like both, and that's kind of funny. I wasn't even thinking about this until you started talking about it, but well, my show's title is Intertextual Cardboard Experience, and I don't know, just
Love that.
finding links between things is the point, or more or less it just gives me excuse to talk about whatever. So
I love it.
it's like a cop out, but I think it's cool. You mentioned that, bands that are taking or that are kind of creating their names from other band songs, but you mentioned the Me and My Giant from the Shel Silverstein poem. It's just always fun when you see titles and like their or if maybe even you didn't know and like how they originate, but it's not even like a band that I listen to much, but the Airborne Toxic Event is from a sec.
I know them.
Oh, okay. They have like, as far as I know, a pretty popular song called "Sometime Around Midnight." I think that's what it's called. So,
Okay, I'm gonna have to check it out after this,
I'll make sure that
if
I
I've
send
heard
it to
it.
you as a just in
Yeah.
case. I feel like you may have heard it, but it's basically taken from a sec like a section of a book called White Noise. It's a Don DeLillo novel, and it's not even the title of the book. It's just a section of it, and.
Cool.
Yeah, so I had no idea, and I was reading the book. I'm like, wait. So I looked it up, and obviously that's how they came up with their name. So,
That's cool. Yeah, it is kind of fascinating to see how people come up with band names or board game titles.
yeah, it's just fun. It adds like a little bit extra, especially if you obviously aren't the person who like made it up. But once you have that realization, that's the fun part.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got a little bit of a lead up to this next question. All right. So
All right.
this happened super recently. It was actually last weekend. So this is a new entry to my ideas and my script and what I was thinking about for this talk. So
Cool.
but my wife works for a not lo a local nonprofit conservation group. I guess I don't know. I probably missaid that, but a nonprofit that does conservation work, and I'll volunteer
Cool.
in different ways. And one of the big things, especially now, I'm in Wisconsin, and we didn't really have much of a winter until now. But if we have brush piles, well, cut buckthorn and other invasive species and spot treat it or whatever, you can't really burn it if there's too much fuel that's nearby. So snow is really nice because
Yeah.
you get the brush piles going. So somebody else I was volunteering has worked in environmental conservation their whole life and was just telling me the story of somebody that they worked with who was, in their words, the best brush cutter that they ever met because they're using one of those big industrial brush cutters. So kind of like a string trimmer, but has like the big blade on it,
Oh,
at the
wow.
end.
Yeah.
And they said because the brush cutter was a bassist, so they had that kind of that like that hip swing
Nice.
where they just go through and hold on to this massive tool, just like an
Oh,
instrument,
wow.
and
Yeah.
go through all clear and brush. And they said that never seen anybody else who cut brush like them. So I don't
That's
know.
funny. That's cool.
I thought that was funny, and I don't know. It just kind of triggered this thought of how, people's skills and passions transfer into, other activities or careers or whatever it might be. It's just fun and
Yeah.
funny. And I was thinking then, so in what ways, and it doesn't have to be as literal as that, have you seen your musical experiences and talents transfer into other areas of your life?
I bring my drumsticks to every game. I'll pick up dice and roll them with my drumsticks. No. I'll take like my small my rack tom and I'll shake the dice in there. Push my meeples around with drumsticks. No, I'm just kidding.
Now you have to. Just go to one game night and do that.
So I think for me, I think where the music kind of ties in, and I don't know honestly if it's a performance thing, like the guy that was cutting brush, like he plays bass. I don't know that I have anything like that, but I will say that like I definitely bring a similar curiosity to the board game space that I had with music. And like any time, like I want to try everything. Like I'm like, oh, Warhammer? What's that? Let me try that. Let me try this, you know? And that's how I've gotten, which can be challenging for someone like me, because I'm like, I get really into like historical games, 18XX, heavy Euros, quote unquote Ameritrash, whatever. Like I get into so many different genres just the way I do with music. And when I find a game or a mechanism or, something about a game that I just love, then I want to find out, okay, who designed this? Or maybe it's the art or something. I want to see every game that this person created art for. I want to try every game that this designer made because this fascinated me. Oh, deck building? This is dope. Like, I want to play every deck building game. So I feel like that is a lot of where my music has come into the board game space. But I guess from a game design perspective, for me, like I did a lot of, besides drums, I play guitar. I never really perform, but I can write ideas and mess around with some covers and stuff. But I really feel like the process of designing a game is very similar to writing a song, or maybe even an album kind of thing. Like what do you want the person who's experiencing this, or the people, to feel when they start this? And how do you want them to kind of like what makes sense for the turn structure and going from this to that and everything? So I feel like when I started, like, because it was quickly after I got into board games that I decided to start working on my game, and it like went through several iterations, just like sometimes songs do. Like sometimes songs just come right out and it's like, oh, that's a banger. But other times it's like, no, not quite. Oh, let me like not work on that for a while. Oh, let me bring it back. Oh, I got a fresh perspective because now I've listened to this album, which inspired this, so maybe I'll do this. And with game design, it's like, oh, now I played this game. Oh, I realize how much I like market manipulation. How can I incorporate that into this? And I think what was kind of rejuvenating about it is it's mostly me. Obviously, or maybe not, but the obviously are not the play testers and all my friends or whoever, at conventions have play tested my game. That is incredibly helpful. And that's almost like going to a open mic night or a gig and like saying like, I'm gonna try something new. What do you guys think? And so there's a lot of overlap I realized with that, and it's very a very satisfying creative project. And in the same sense, when I would get an idea for a song idea, like from listening to something else that and it just sparks an idea, that same thing happened as I was designing and developing my game over like 4 years off and on. And now I'm at that point where it's like we're in the studio trying to like record it, and it's going a little slower than expected, but it should be on crowdfunding sometime this year. So
That's awesome. Yeah,
thanks.
that's really neat, just that whole breakdown too, because I think I obviously, well, not obviously, speaking obviously, people that, board game designers, oftentimes, anybody who's coming into the hobby space, is going to enjoy board games however they want. I think a lot of people who fall hardened board games at least have some interest in design, whether it's just like a passing thought or like this is what I'm going to do. And it is neat thinking about that links because obviously I mentioned I like music. I mean I love music. But I couldn't tell you anything about it, or if I had to create it might be the scariest thing that anybody would ever have to listen to.
No.
But just kind of like, your experiences and like kind of tracking, kind of like the arc of the game or like the beats of that, or like from like a musical composition standpoint, where I think, my brain naturally thinks more of like a literal story,
Gotcha.
like a piece of fiction almost. But and at the same time, those aren't necessarily that e different anyway. So, and then,
Oh, sorry, go
oh
ahead.
no, that's about it.
Oh, okay, because I had a thought as you were saying that. Another like tie-in to my game design experience and my music writing experience is I went to First Play LA at some point, which is a play testing event in LA, at a game store. I think it's a monthly thing. I only got to go once or twice, but one time I was there, Jackie Fox was there also, and I think that was the first time she played my game. And one of the things she suggested from her experience of pitching her game and going through development with different people and everything, one of the things that she mentioned was like, hey, I think you should make this three rounds because I had it as four rounds at the time. And I was like, huh. And then I just tried it and it was like, oh, this is magical. And the reason I think about that with music is because one thing in music that I'm guilty of is when you're writing a song, like we would have a lot of like instrumental kind of jams in our bridges. And it's something you kind of want to like keep going forever. Like, yeah. But when you record it, you know, do that live, sure. But when you record it, if you make it shorter, that tends to make people want to hear it again and play it again. So there would be so many moments where, like, there'd be a cool riff or something, and it's like, yeah, more of that. And then we would, like, after talking about it, like, no, we should keep it like this. We'll extend it live. But I just thought about that as a game design thing of how getting the amount of rounds kind of tightened in. So you still get the punch, but it doesn't like drag on too long, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome, and that definitely links to some of the iteration that you were talking about in that whole like the way that you create songs or albums and then the game
Yeah.
too. So,
Totally.
I like that a lot. That is fun.
Thanks.
Okay, so there's going to be a transition point where we're talking about some kind of like board game specific things. But
Okay.
now thinking still about music and drums and media, this question is, what's a favorite show or movie that features drums? Could be major, could be minor. I don't really care.
Ooh, let me think for a
Okay.
second. I
It's a
mean,
tough one, so.
there's obviously Birdman, or maybe not obviously. But Birdman, the entire soundtrack is drums and percussion. And it was scored by a drummer called named Antonio Sanchez. And a couple of years ago, living in LA, I think this was a perk, but at the Walt Disney Concert Hall, they had Antonio Sanchez playing drums live with the movie on the screen. And that was really, really incredible. So like that is one that I honestly don't even remember what the movie's about, but I remember the drums. Another one I could think of is just That Thing You Do.
Yeah.
I don't even like, yeah, it's probably not that popular, and I forget when it came out or anything, but it's about a band and everything, and they just like they play this song all the time, but it's like kind of like old school rock sound, but it just had a cool do cha cha do cha do cha cha. And then jeez, I probably can think of so many. Oh, Battlestar Galactica. For sure. Like, the music for Battlestar Galactica is so drum driven. And I think it made me really fall in love with that show because my partner Matt is a big sci-fi person. You can put any sci-fi thing on, movie, show. He wants to watch it all and consume it all. I like it. If it's good, like if the story's good, the acting's good and everything. And he was like, at some point, you gotta watch Battlestar Galactica. And we watched it and I was like hooked. But part of the hook, I'm pretty sure, is like the music. And I think the composer's name is Bear McCreary or something. But that soundtrack is often what I will throw on for playing like TI4 or any kind of like space game with some tension. Battlestar Galactica is definitely one. And I'll give you a hot, fresh take. For my birthday recently, my brother bought me a movie on online, like on his like Fandango or whatever. And he was so excited about it because it's an older movie that I loved when I was a kid. And I realized, like, I could probably almost say every line from this movie, but it is just like not like what did I like about it is the question. So I'll just say what the movie is. I'm sure many people have never even heard of this. It's called My Blue Heaven, and it has Rick Moranis from like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and Steve Martin are the biggest stars. Joan Cusack's in it, a couple other people, but it's like this movie that like you could never really imagine a little like I maybe I was a teenager when it came out, but like a teenage girl being so into this movie. And I don't really know exactly what drew me to it and made me want to keep watching it and watching it, but when we watched it last night, I realized a lot of the music has this like Caribbean kind of like percussive driven thing. So I was like, maybe like that was part of it, like the music in this movie that like drew me in. And like Steve Martin is just his character is hilarious and fantastic. But yeah, I would definitely say like Battlestar Galactica is a big one where the drums really resonate with me.
Oh, those are awesome responses. Yeah, I you said
Thanks.
obviously to start, and the first one that came to my mind was Birdman as well. And yeah, it's been a long time since I've seen that movie, but
Yeah.
yeah, so I couldn't give you a critical. I know that I really liked it when I watched it, so I could tell you that much.
Right.
I
Because of the
thought
drums.
because it was the drums were cool. All
Yeah.
that kind of funky fourth wall breaking and maneuvering and
Yeah.
yeah, that was fun. Yeah, and the drums just kind of added to the, the stress and the anxiety and everything that was going on. So,
Yeah.
I like that. But I definitely need to watch Battlestar Galactica because I think, unless I'm mistaken, it starts off with kind of like a big episode, which is kind of like a movie.
Yeah, it's like an hour or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure I watched that and I liked it, but then like every
Trailed
other thing
off.
in life, it just kind of like, oh,
Yeah.
I watched it. That's cool.
Yeah, definitely revisit it and report back. Because
Okay. Yeah.
it gets good.
Perfect. Yeah. I'll bump it. I'll rebump that to the top of my list. I
Nice.
like sci-fi stuff, so that's fun. Okay. Perfect. So now, I mean, board games have come up, obviously. But now we're going to kind of get into some of the board game specific categories, and in that transition, we'll have a little bit of an interlude. I mentioned this in
Okay, yeah.
communication. And this is timely as well because you just did a live stream regarding some trick takers and you
Yes.
know a lot of the media that I consume for board games is about from the trick taking community. I definitely listen and watch and do all way more than I get to play because I usually play like one or two player games and there are trick taking games that exist for that and are great and I like them
Yeah.
but
But yeah, you're not getting to play them as much as you are like learning about them.
100%. So this is our trick taking interlude.
Nice. I love it.
And like I probably didn't even finish the thought, but you just did a live stream with a few other people for kind of like the trick takeuary thing. I don't
Yeah.
know. I've seen some of that. I have I've been like a little behind on my consumption, but
Yeah, it's a it was just kind of a silly idea, but when I was at PAX Unplugged, I was catching up with my friend Jay Bernardo from Cardboard East, and he also does like marketing for Bezier Games. And as we were talking, he was saying that I guess Jenna from Board Game Garden was doing something where she kind of calendared out like her media plans. And he was like, we should do a whole month covering trick-taking games. And at some point in this like this conversation in the middle of a walkway in the PAX exhibit hall, Taylor Reiner walks up, who I know you had on, and who everybody who's into trick-taking games like we are probably watches Taylor's channel, Taylor's Trick-Taking Table, which is so fantastic, like such a good way to get a feel for a game to see if you might like it. And he's also hilarious. So he walks up and we just kind of like start talking. And I don't even think Jenna was there at the time. I think it was the three of us. And we were like, yeah, let's do this thing. And I was like, well, can't do it in January. It's going to be crazy. So we're like, let's do it in February. So the plan was for between the four of us, Taylor, Jenna, Jay, and I to put out content on trick-taking games every day in February, and you know, whether it be shorts or long form content. And we've kind of been doing that, like, it's I think we all realized it's harder to keep up with, even like recording shorts, like, take some time to put together and stuff like that. So, I don't know how on the mark we are with having something every day, but we did want to do something where the four of us were on together. And so we did a live stream on Valentine's Day, and we wanted to just, you know, talk about our love of trick-taking games. And it was really fun. It was funny. That is up on Board Game Geek's YouTube channel. If you go under the like live stream tab, you can check that out. I'll warn you, we are silly. We do talk about like a bunch of really cool games. But we are laughing a lot, so get set for that. But yeah, so I love trick-taking games. They are like, yeah, they're just my jam, and I love that this, you know, this renaissance of trick-taking games that we're in the midst of, and you know, there's just so many different themes, so many hybrids with other mechanisms, and it's they're card games, you know? So you can usually get them tabled a lot easier. They travel well. I can play them with my mom or just about anybody. And not all of them, because I do like some of the like weird, thinkier ones, you know? But yeah, I love trick-taking games. How about you?
Yeah, so I definitely like trick-taking games. Sorry, there's like a sound. That's
No
my
worries.
brain. I'm just like, what is going on? It's really cold here, so I don't know. The house is revolting or something.
Oh,
It's been like consistently below zero. Ooh.
ouch. Ouch. I won't tell
Yeah.
you what the weather is here in LA.
Yeah, but well, I think at the end of this week we make it out. All right, but back to trick taking games and not me like, what is going on in my walls?
Am I frozen inside my house?
I've always liked gaming in some capacity. I mean, my family was definitely into just like playing games. I think they knew that I like playing games, so they would do it with me when I was young, and it's just like a nice way to pass time, video games as well. And then when I became like, I think probably the first card game that I played a lot of, and it's easily my most played game of all time would be cribbage. I played so much cribbage with my dad.
Oh, and I've never played it before.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. It definitely not trick taking, but it's fun. I would recommend I'd recommend cribbage.
Okay, is it like Pinochle or something or?
I don't really know Pinochle enough, but
Okay,
basically
that was I've only played Pinochle once, but like my parents would have like nights where their friends would come over. It's like a partner game.
okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I probably not. I was looking it up, but I guess I'll give you the breakdown. I'll try to explain cribbage as quickly as possible, which brings up
Cool.
like a really ridiculous anecdote. I was in a public speaking class in high school, and I knew cribbage really well, so I thought I could give a demonstration speech on how to teach cribbage without like any practice whatsoever. I'm
Wow.
like, I know the game. I'm gonna rock my speech. I got up there and trying to explain the game, I was like, it was the worst speech I've ever given my entire life. So, wow. I guess there's a moral in that story is you got to practice public
This is
speaking.
your do-over right
Okay,
now. This is your do-over.
I can do this even more publicly than I did then. But you get dealt, if I'm not mistaken, six cards, and then you put two into a crib. So then, like, you have four, the person you're playing against has four, and then the crib has four. And then a card is cut. So you're basically scoring from these five cards. There's like a run that happens before you start scoring. And the game is kind of predicated on 15. So you want to build combinations of like 15s in your hand. So if you had like three fives
Whoa.
and a jack, like, you would have an awesome hand.
Wow.
Yeah.
This
Yeah,
is sounds involved.
it's yeah, I mean, honestly at this point it's just kind of like a pastime. You just do it. Like, I think once you get it, you get it. But yeah, you're trying to like score for pairs, runs, like double runs, and yeah,
Gotcha.
I think once you like see what the scoring criteria is, you could play it. But
Okay.
that's cribbage. That's the game I played the most of and that was kind of like my first card game.
Oh, cool.
But then I played like Sheep's Head with
Don't know that either.
I think like the more German name for it is the Doppelkopf, or like kind of like a whist or a euchre or something. They're all like similar-ish.
I yep, and I guess what? I have not played euchre. I have friends who are like, "We gotta play euchre," and I haven't played that one either. One day I need to just like kind of have a day where we play all these like classic games. I'm kind of doing that with like dusty old Euros right now. I'm enjoying like going back and exploring games that are older, you know.
I literally just played Euchre on like Board Game Arena for the first time, and even from playing the Sheep's Head and stuff, there are some funky things, and I definitely needed to read the rules better, because I think I failed my partner. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry.
Whoops.
Well, sorry to whoever that was, but yeah, I like I said, probably played like a decent amount. I have way more than I've played. Oops.
Don't we all? Don't we all, Ryan?
So,
The gamer's dilemma.
but yeah, I'm happy that there are more like two player ones that are working well. I mean, you mentioned Taylor. I know Taylor helped some of the development on the Lord of the Rings one, and I've heard
Yeah.
that two player works well, just kind of with that little pyramid player. So I'm
I have not.
excited.
Yeah, I haven't tried it at two play, and you can play it solo too, apparently.
Yeah, I did see that there's solo as well.
Might I suggest two games for you to try
Perfect. I
if you
will add that.
haven't already?
I'll let you
Ha
know.
have you played Sail?
Oh, a little bit. I do like it's actually. Oh, it
Is
was
that up
back
there?
there.
Okay,
Yeah,
yeah, I see
it
Big
was.
Top and some
Yeah,
other.
all my all play games are there. It's hiding, I guess.
Okay. I just finally played it. I've had it for a while. I had the original like Hamel and Cave. But it's I'm loving that. And then also on the competitive side, Lone Wolves.
Okay, I've been hearing probably from you. I've heard really good things because yeah, I'm pretty sure I've done like the intro scenario or intro and one for sale like a couple times with a couple different people now, so I haven't progressed super far.
Yeah, same.
And then I've played a good amount of Jekyll versus Hyde as
Cool.
two
I
player
haven't played that
competitive.
one yet.
Okay. So I guess I can try Lone Wolves and then you can try Jekyll versus Hyde as like a couple two players. But yeah, that one sounds super intriguing. So,
And then Fox in the Forest.
yeah, I played a little
That
bit
was
of
the
that.
first one I think I played. But yeah, I think Lone Wolves for me, like it's kind of lane-based area majority scoring, but like some really cool decisions where sometimes you won't want to win a trick because it'll allow you to play something somewhere else, like in a different lane strategically, and get a cool token because they have these scar tokens. Yeah, I like it quite a bit. It's very competitive.
Okay. Hey, that will work for me. No, I'm really excited. I definitely will like see if I can get my hands on the copy because again, if it's two players, there's definitely a better chance of playing it. So that is fun. Okay, so with I had to look this up. So I don't even know where I put it in my document. We'll see. Oh, there it is. There it is. So I had to look it up. And I was just curious if there's anything that came to your mind for either Climber Shedder or a Trick Taker that does have some musical link.
Yes. So there's a game called Take the A Chord, I think. Take
Okay.
the A Chord. It's a trick-taking game where you're like a jazz, you're a jazz band and you're like playing cards. I've only played it like once or twice a couple of years ago. But it's something jazz and chord progression related. It had something neat to it that I don't remember. But that one, and then I feel like I played something last year at T9 that now I'm second guessing if it was a trick-taking game or not. But there's some game that I played at some point that has you as you win cards. I think you're like kind of making a band. I got to think about it. I remember something and I don't own it and I feel like I couldn't get it, but I would have if I could have. So it could just be some rare game. If anybody knows what I'm talking about, let me know.
Yeah, well, send an email to me in the show notes. I'll forward it.
Beyond that, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I can't think of anything offhand that's music related. What about you?
Well, that's the thing. Like I the fact that you came up with the A chord one in like a quarter second, I was super impressed because I was like rifling around. I was typing in on the searches of like different discords and seeing like if music stuff came up, and there doesn't really seem to be too much. So I just typed it in and I couldn't even see that it was on BGG, but I saw the mentioning of silence or music a couple times. But I now that I'm like saying it, I don't even see it. So maybe my search was so poor that that
I just thought of one,
Ooh.
Ryan, that I haven't played yet, but I've heard about it and I want to play. It's designed by Rand, who made Tall Tales. He made a game called, I don't know if it's Live Evil or Live Evil, but it's got Miles Davis on the front. And it's something like where you're doing jam sessions And I was like, that seems really cool. And then he also designed Baychella. Have you heard of that one?
Yeah, so that's funny because that was at least Baychella, and I think maybe yeah, I don't know if it was Alive or Live Evil either, but at least Baychella was being sold at the Indie Games Night Market.
Yeah, I saw you had an
Yeah.
episode on that with Daniel Newman too.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah.
awesome.
Yeah, that was fun. So yeah, definitely that's a good one too, because that fits in this as well. So
Cool.
I feel like the crossover, at least right now, is definitely kind of small, but I don't know. We'll see if like they pop up and we can keep exploring. But yeah, like I said, I had literally nothing. So I like came up with the question. I'm like, I got nothing. So those are some good ones from you. So
Thanks, thanks. And then I think let's see. I don't think Bowie was a trick-taking game that Dan Bullock designed. Yeah, that was something else, but it's a card game. I'm still like looking to see if I could figure out the one that I'm talking about that I don't think so.
Well, maybe, I guess, maybe somebody who played it with you will remember. I
Yeah,
can't.
like I think there was something, either that or I'm just like losing it, which is quite possible. But yeah, I'm pretty sure I played something that was like, what is this? No, I don't know. I'm like looking at my log plays from that T9 show. Yeah, I don't know, but there might be some other ones out there. There probably are.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, it does. Like I said, it definitely seems like a small cross section because nothing came to mind for me. And even after, like, I put research in air quotes there, I wasn't coming up with much. So, or
Right.
nothing that I saw a ton of or knew much about. So,
They'll come, I'm sure. I'm sure we'll see them soon.
they will. Well, most definitely, which is cool. I like that
Yeah.
a lot. All right. Well, we can transition out of that interlude, and then we can get back into some just kind of, well, I mean, we were talking about board games, so now just games about music. You had that podcast episode with Jackie. We mentioned that, and you talked about a lot of board games that are about music in some way, and maybe I can pull up that list, and I'll even like share my screen so we can see those games.
I
But
actually have it
okay,
handy.
all right, perfect. Look at that. We have it. We have it.
I
So my
was
question.
like, I suspected we would talk about some of these, so.
Okay, perfect. Well, we can definitely talk about some of them, but my initial question is, like oftentimes when you're like researching something or working on something or talking about it, things will pop up after the fact, or do they just naturally do, because I know that there have been more music-based board games that have just been being made or announced after that episode as well, which is
Yeah,
crazy.
yeah.
So my initial question then is, which of like games that you didn't talk about that have kind of appeared on your radar after your discussion and kind of like stuck out to you?
Okay, so let me think. So we talked about a lot. We talked about like
Yes.
Lacrimosa, Jackie's game Rock Hard, my game Rivals of Rock, Rock Band Manager, this old card game. With borderline offensive art, Big Easy Busking come together. I see that there's some. I think they announced some crowdfunding for possibly crowdfunding for Martin Wallace's game Monster Rock, which has all these fantasy animals. There's a game coming out that actually Jackie just told me is going to be at Dice Tower West. I think. Garage Rock. And
Oh.
then I had someone send me who offered to send me his game and I'm just gonna try to look it up real quick. I think it was no. Let me check
That's good, 'cause
this.
I'm looking at this list and jogging my memory too of these
Oh, here it
games.
is.
Perfect.
Rock and Roll Brouhaha.
Oh.
rock and roll, BROU. This is a newer game from an indie designer. I haven't had a chance to play it yet, but it's like on my list to check it out. And I think this is like really exciting to see, 'cause like I kind of suspected it would be this way because, just think about like the nature games, right? The explosion of nature games, and now we have like so many like mushroom foraging games. And the cool thing that like Jackie and I were kind of chatting about over email is that even though there are other rock band or rock music related games coming out, and often it seems like a lot of them will have some common core mechanism, but they all seem to have their own feel. Like, I think the garage rock one that's coming out is more of an 80s kind of theme to it. Jackie's is from her period of being in the band in the 70s, so it's like reflective of her experience. Mine has a different perspective, and it's like my experience, yeah, so it's really fascinating, but I'm trying to think if I've noticed any others since recording that episode. The answer is I probably did, but do I know what they are right now, Ryan?
And that's kind of an interesting note too, because when I was, thinking about the episode and, thinking over listening to your episode with Jackie and then just kind of like poking around and stuff, I feel like there is like a nice push with these music-based board games or, set musically set or themed or whatever it is you want to call it. And I feel like, oh, like I'll see one. I'm like, ah, that's another one. But then I kind of will backtrack and research and see, what will be categorized on Board Game Geek as a music game or something like that. And it just still doesn't even feel like there's that many. So it's like this weird balance where it's like, oh, like more are coming, and like you're seeing more and more, or at least I think I'm seeing more, and then maybe I'm not seeing as many as I think I'm seeing. And yeah, I don't know. I think it was just like all kind of timed out where a lot of the games that you talked about on that episode, like I was seeing things for Luthier, the Philharmonics had just kind of popped up. Obviously, Lacrimosa was big, and Kickstart or the crowdfunding was maybe launching for Bitewing did like a jazz collection.
Oh yeah, with Bebop. I really want to try that one. Yeah, I think they're definitely out there, but over probably the next couple of years, we'll see more. We'll see more. And sheesh, I was gonna say something. Oh yeah, you were mentioning to me over email how ever since you were talking to me about doing this episode, you've been like noticing drums and more things and shows and stuff like that. And yeah, I think that's cool because it's basically, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, your reticular activator. Because I had this same thing happen like 5 years ago when my bass player, my band bought a Subaru. And I'm like, I never saw Subarus. And then all of a sudden, one close friend gets a Subaru, and I'm like on the streets, like, oh, there's a Subaru, and there's a Subaru, and there's a Subaru. And it's like, did the amount of Subarus change drastically? No, it's just weird how our brains start to like pay attention to that kind of stuff. But yeah, oh, there it looks like there's an Monopoly Iron Maiden game.
That is funny.
But yeah, I don't really know of anything else. Oh, I Made You a Mixtape, I've heard of. That was after the episode, and there's something looks like coming out this year called Hairband. Fest season. So yeah, there's some out there. The Battle of the Divas. Oh, I just had a random thought with my popcorn brain here, but I wonder if anyone has made or will think to make a music-related RPG, like where your whole story is like a band that's touring or something. I don't know how it would work or anything like that, but I just realized like that would be cool.
That would, I don't do a ton of the, I'll, again, more will look, starting to look more into them, but some of the ideas that are out there are so interesting and so unique. I hope that there's one out there, and if not, like, hopefully,
When I get into RPGs, I'll make
then you can make it. Or
it.
even
Yeah.
if one exists, like, you could probably
That's
make one
cool.
that is so wildly different and just like have it be
Yeah.
something else. That'd be so much fun too. So
Totally.
cool. And you said that you had the list up from your interview with Jackie. So I guess a good follow-up question for that would be, after that conversation, maybe games that Jackie had mentioned, is there anything that you wound up revisiting from that convo and playing that was like, wow, like I
No, not at all, actually. Not at all. Yeah, I'm realizing, especially with I actually just sold my copy of Symphony Number 9. Just like, you know how it is when you like there are sometimes too many games to consume, not enough time. And I almost tried Draft and Write Records on Board Game Arena the other day, but I haven't yet. I'm still very curious to play Luthier, and there was a game called Hi-Fi that I think dropped last year, and I hear great things about Come Together, which is like the more like I think 60s time period Woodstock kind of festival perspective on it. But no, I haven't really played, and I was just telling Jackie, I'm gonna go play test an expansion she's working on. I don't know if that's secret or not. Probably not.
If it's a
I
secret, let me know. I'll
don't
cut
know. Okay.
it.
But I was telling her, like, I haven't gotten around to playing her game yet. Like, it's just crazy. Like, you would think that that would have been one of the first things I played at Gen Con, but it's always like that, like, oh, I'll definitely get to that at some point. And then next thing you know, it's February. But yeah, no, I have not played anything besides my game, I think, music related, I think.
All right. Nice. Yeah, I'm going when listening to that episode, there's a bunch that I'd heard of, a bunch I didn't, which were neat to listen about too. But looking at the list, I think the only ones that I had had experience with were On Tour, which I think kind of noted loose
Very loose,
it.
yeah.
But it's fun. I like that game. And I actually have played a lot of Draft and Write Records on Board Game Arena, so it's and then I listened to, I think it was one of the Shut Up and Sit Down podcasts. They talked about it because they played it in real life, and I think, much like experiencing a game on Board Game Arena as opposed to in real life, it seems like they kind of did dive into some of the silliness of the theme or the makeup of the band that you're
Gotcha.
making. Whereas for
Yeah.
me, I binged, 30 something games in a row, so it's just
Yeah.
optimization. But
I hear you.
yeah, it's cool. Yeah, if you like roll and writes in any capacity, I mean, playing it on Board Game Arena will just be a quick way to
Try
consume
it
it. So
out. Yeah. Cool.
awesome. Okay, so that's There are more coming. You mentioned a whole bunch of them, and there's a bunch from that episode if people want to go back and check all of those games out too. But oh gosh, I'm getting lost in my notes now because I keep like adding stuff to it too.
Well, we've been kind of like talking about this off and on for like almost a year,
Yeah,
right?
that's true. These notes, they've and they're growing, so I don't know. It's perfect. But this is good because you mentioned it earlier, when you're talking about Battlestar Galactica and, the fact that, that soundtrack winds up being the default to a lot of your your gaming, if you're doing anything sci-fi related. Do you have any other, types of music or albums or soundtracks that fit a different game night or different, genre or whatever it is?
Yeah, so I one that it often gets played, especially with like some of the Pandemic Legacy games or anything that's kind of, I think we did it with Pandemic Legacy Season Zero, which I haven't played all the way through, so don't ask me my thoughts. But Contagion, the Contagion soundtrack is definitely like it is this pulsing, like stressful music. And so often, if there's a game that has that kind of tension, that comes up a lot. But otherwise, it's more about like the theme of the game. So sometimes we'll just listen to whatever whatever's exciting and doesn't necessarily connect to the game that we're playing, but we typically try to like there's a in a musician slash band called Danheim, I believe from somewhere in Scandinavia, and they do this very like tribal earthy Viking-esque music. So them and a group called Heilung, those two, I will often, if we're playing something that has like kind of a Viking feel to it, I'll put those on. And then otherwise, it's like, well, what are we doing? Like, I'm usually searching YouTube for like, give me some, Renaissance tavern music or ambiance or whatever. And I know, like, we're also talking about like how certain games have soundtracks. And one of them, oh my gosh, I just thought of another one, but I don't fully have it yet. But the two that came to mind, well, the first one is Bullet Heart, Bullet Star. I don't know if you've ever played it or heard of it.
Heard of it, haven't played.
Yeah, it's a real-time game, and they made a bunch of different songs for I think every one of these, like you have these like anime female like heroine kind of characters that are all asymmetric, and I think they might all have like their own song, but the song is a natural timer for how long you have in the round, and every once in a while on some of them like you'll hear a ding or a chime and you're like, oh crap, I gotta get moving. But I thought that was really cool that they put together a soundtrack for that. Was it Septima? I'm trying to think. There was some other game in the past year where, oh, I got it. I got it. Call of Killforth.
Okay.
This is like an adventure game that I love from Tristan Hall, Hall or Nothing Productions. And they have music out there that has is like tailored for some of their games. And then I don't know who made it, but there, if you look on YouTube, I think it was, you find some Spirit Island music, which is cool. Sometimes I will just like look up a particular game and say, give me a soundtrack, because like nowadays people are making great playlists for a bunch of different games, mostly like more popular ones, but sometimes I'll look for music that way. So it kind of varies.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's really neat that you brought up the bullet. Now it's a series. I feel like there's like eight different ones at this point,
Yeah.
but I didn't know that they made their own music for the characters. That's slick.
Yeah.
I think, I think it's fun that, I've just on social media and in other ways seeing how maybe for an RPG or for a game, how maybe the designers or publishers or whatever will maybe curate a playlist or actually
Yeah.
make the music for it. And then, I don't have a ton of experience with playing, the longer adventure games with apps, but I think that some of those will integrate like the
Oh,
music too.
yes. Fate Forge. I'm pretty sure Fate Forge Chronicles of Khan has within that's an app-driven adventure style board game. with music that plays on the app that you can just use. Also, along that line, I think Freelancers and Forgotten Waters, they're both app-driven, but they have music that you can have going as you play it.
Yeah, I have the final two that you mentioned in Forgotten Waters, which I've played a little bit, but not Freelancers yet, so.
Okay. It's pretty fun. It's pretty fun. And I just got a review copy of Wandering Galaxy, the new one. So I'm looking forward to digging into that, because so far I've played the other two with the same group. So, and we just have a good time, like making up our character names, and it's light and it's fun.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. So yeah, the way that kind of like playlists, whether you're making them, finding them, other people are making them, or just coming up with or reusing the soundtrack for something else, having the remade ones. I don't know. It's nice to have to be able to kind of fall into the game a little bit more.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Or even just listening to whatever it was that you wanted to listen to for the day and
Exactly.
hang out and play a solo game or something.
And I mean, to be honest, like I mean, it's good that I listen to so many different types of music, 'cause sometimes what I want to listen to is maybe heavy or weird, and not everybody is down for that. So it kind of depends on the group, because I have some friends who like who are also drummers, and so they're into like very similar music and maybe stuff on the heavier prog rock kind of side of things. So we'll be showing each other bands, and yeah, that's always really fun too. When you do have people, other game friends who are into music that are like, let me show you this band, and trading. Yeah, my friend Chris, that I played with a bunch, who's also a musician. He like we would just constantly be like showing each other different bands, and it was like we had very similar tastes, but we didn't know certain artists, so it was really exciting, you know?
Yeah, that's really neat, for sure. Especially, I mean, in like the space of music, or now even in the space of games, where like you're bringing up games, like, and you could have these conversations with anybody in games. Like, oh, I haven't heard of that one. I haven't heard this one.
I love it. I love it.
That is perfect. But we'll transition to the last one that I kind of have linked to board games and music before getting to like the wrap up question. So. Again, we always get to a point where it's like, I don't want you to have to be stuck with me for like 3 hours, so
It's so fun. Like, it's so fun talking board games and music with people like you. And I have the same thing, like where I'm on the podcast with someone and you just like we're so passionate about it that we don't want to stop talking, but then we look at the clock and we're like, oh, it's been 2 hours.
Like, oh, got to go feed the animals or eat for myself and go to bed or whatever it might be.
Exactly.
But I kind of again sent you, I mean, you mentioned that I sent you a few ideas, and I know that we kind of talked about a little bit before talking. You looked into games that have kind of music-based characters, and it seems like you did more homework on this than I did because, well, first and foremost, we were chatting about my inability to play too many bones since it's gotten chested in the trove chest. It's locked down in the trove chest more than anything. I know that you've talked about it too, but the character Stanza, being like having, and again, Too Many Bones has so much like fun variety, and that's the character that I haven't played with. A while back, probably watched one of the tutorial videos or something for like this is slick, but you mentioned that you looked into you can talk about your experience playing with Stanza and or some of the other ones because you said that you were looking and I was thinking a little bit, but
Couple. I have a couple because like I naturally gravitate towards those characters if I see them in a game. But Stanza or Sansa, I don't know which way they pronounce it, but that character was one of the reasons I got into Too Many Bones. Because like at the time I had like probably zero curiosity for RPG style adventure games or anything like that. It just wasn't really on my radar, and I learned about Too Many Bones from writing an article for BGG News when I saw like something new was coming out, and so I do a little research, and then I kind of remembered the first time I went to Essen in 2019. This is pre-BGG Association. I remember seeing Chip Theory because I think maybe Cloudspire came out at the time, but I just remember long lines, big boxes of stuff. So I was like, oh, let me check this out. Then Ricky Royal would talk about Hoplomachus and, everything, all the stars started to align. And then I started watching videos on Too Many Bones Undertow because I saw someone was like selling a copy nearby. And when I just saw how the dice play and the different characters, and Stanza is like this bard, and her dice are used to like strum chords and make songs that are, you're attacking your enemies that way. And it was like really, really, really fascinating. And Too Many Bones to this day is still one of my favorite games. I have not even played all of the character, all the Gearlocks. They're all so different and thematic and creative. And it's just really, really awesome. That is another thing that I'm discovering about myself is that I love games that have asymmetric characters or factions. It's just like a sweet spot of enjoyment for me. But the other ones I thought of, last year I got super into Keyforge, which you know about because I started a show with my friend Derek at BGG called T-Forge, where we play Keyforge games online and sip on tea to show that Keyforge can be played as like a casual game. But when I first started playing, and Keyforge has different houses, right? And there's this one house that, again, when I first started playing the game, I was like, whatever. But then when I realized they had musician cards, I was like, oh, this is my group. And they're called Brobnar. And the really cool thing is Brobnar, they're like these like kind of barbarian giants, and they hit hard and stuff. But there are some cards where like there's a drummer, and then there's a keyboardist and a guitarist and a singer, and I don't remember if there's a bassist or not. But if you get a deck that has the whole band, like there's this other card that I can't think of at the moment that is amazing. It lets you like go through your deck and get the rest of the musicians out. And so I just like fell in love with Brobnar because they had this tie-in to like that they're rock musicians and everything. So that's one. Speaking of asymmetric factions and heroes and characters, I just got my copy of Guards of Atlantis 2, which I've been really, really excited about ever since my friend Jordan, who backed the original Kickstarter for it, had and we played it a couple years ago, or I forget when at this point. But as I was getting all of those heroes organized, I noticed there's one that's called Mortimer the Awakener, and he's this like death metal guitarist, and I think he strums and puts like zombies on the board or something, but he's got the like heavy metal kind of rock stance. And I'm like, I can't wait to play this character, even though I think he's a level 3 difficulty. And I'm like, I'm gonna probably be in level 1, level 2 for a while. But that was really exciting to see. And then the last one that came to mind that I discovered at PAX Unplugged is from a two-player card game called React: The Arts of War. This is like a Summoner Wars kind of like game where it's mostly every character has their own deck of cards. But they're highly asymmetric, super thematic. They're all these like artists. And one of the characters that you can buy as like an add-on is a DJ. And she moves around the board, but she also has speakers that she summons. And in order to attack, you have to like use her speakers and put like your enemy within a range of your two speakers that are on the board. And I was like, that's so cool. Like, and all of her cards are like music related to like playing songs. Like, I think there was like an electric slide effect or something like that. But like that was the other one I thought of because once again, like I gravitate towards if a game has like a music character, I want to try it, you know?
Oh, they're great. I don't have the experience with KeyForge. I mean, honestly, all those games, any of them that I've played, have kind of been like the digital, like Hearthstone or
Yeah,
Runeterra
gotcha.
or Marvel Snap or whatever. But that is so fun that you can like make up a deck and have them kind of be a little band.
Oh, and you don't make up decks in KeyForge because that, like, that's
because
the whole thing. There's,
it's degenerated. Like it comes
yeah,
in.
there.
Oh,
So
okay.
you hope to get a deck that has the whole band. I mean, some decks will have like just the guitar player or just the drummer or maybe two of them. But when you get the one that has, I can't believe I can't remember the name of the card, this like festival, it's awesome because that means the whole band's in the deck and it's just really awesome.
Oh, that's hilarious. I like that so much. And yeah, I knew that was KeyForge's thing. I just
Oh,
nope.
I mean, hey, no worries. There are so many games out there. Can't
And
remember how they all work.
I looked up the picture of
Mortimer?
Mortimer, and
Yeah.
I was like, no joke, last weekend or the weekend before, I started organizing all of my Guards of Atlantis stuff too.
Nice.
So, yeah, and
Awesome.
I don't know. Again, that's a game that you definitely need a specific group to kind of like get into it. And
Yeah.
I don't know why I buy these games when I play myself
Maybe don't have that group.
if I don't have that group, but whatever.
Well,
And
hopefully you'll find that group though, because it's definitely worth playing regularly.
I think so. I'm very excited. Yeah, and honestly, just organizing it was like step one. So,
Yeah.
and I'm halfway through that step one. So I'll finish that.
After we're done recording, I'll show you what I've done in
Okay.
case you need tips.
I definitely do. I'll take a look at your setup once this is finished up. Okay, perfect. But like I said, that was kind of those characters, and like I said, I had the one. I had others too. I lost them on notes. Let's not get into note-taking habits or losing notes. But no, those are all neat. The final one that you mentioned about. That the DJ sounded like really fun too. And I like that style of game a lot, so.
Oh, highly recommend checking it out.
Okay, I definitely will check that out then
And I
too.
think there's an online, they have an online platform or somebody made it for to play this game online also. And then it's on TTS, I think.
Right, nice. Yeah, I'll definitely like look into it. At least try it out digitally and then hopefully in person too.
Yep. And it's not a TCG. So
You mentioned that it was kind of like Summoner Wars, so. All
Yeah.
right, cool. Yeah, I'll make sure that then you don't have to fall too far down that rabbit hole then.
Exactly.
Perfect. And we've talked about board games, we've talked about music, we've talked about the intersections and all sorts of stuff in between, but now is the point in my penultimate question where I'm just asking you about something. It could be a board game, it could be music, but it could be anything, any piece of media that you've consumed lately, like watched, read, that has just kind of stuck out to you as something that you've enjoyed or are currently enjoying.
Ooh, oh my gosh. Okay, hold on. Let me look up the So I'm gonna have to say because last weekend I played Guards of Atlantis for the first time since it all delivered, I have been craving videos. My friend Brandon has a channel called Optimal Play. And he and other friends have a slew of videos out there, but there's one that I found, and I'm gonna tell you, oh man, There's a guy, I want to say it's called Ring of Cards. Let me see. Let me just check YouTube real quick. Yeah, okay. The channel is called Ring of Cards. And the guy, I don't know his name, but the guy that hosts on this channel, like, launched the channel, I'm pretty sure, specifically because he was excited to talk about Guards of Atlantis 2. And one of the things that I like really love about it is that he has a video where he goes through and kind of like does a deep dive discussion on the different heroes. And I think, like, to me, like, that's one of a lot of awesome things about Guards of Atlantis 2 is how different each hero is and how thematic they are. And I have so much to learn, but like, I love that. Yeah, the video is called Guards of Atlantis 2 Character Discussion. And he just, like, I don't know, he speaks slowly. He just delivers the information really well. And it's a newer channel. And he has like a video called Guards of Atlantis 2 versus the competition. And he's kind of talking about other similar games and like what Guards of Atlantis 2 does versus what this other game does. So it's mostly for me been a lot of Guards of Atlantis 2 content. And then, yeah, but beyond that, I've also been just getting into a bunch of like older games. So I've been seeing some dusty old videos on games that came out years ago that I'm just discovering are pretty cool. So, but yeah, I would say definitely the Ring of Cards channel for all of his Guards of Atlantis 2 footage.
That's awesome. And yeah, it's kind of nice. I mean, you talked about kind of like diving back, and I mean, I talked and you just getting your Guards of Atlantis 2 stuff, me getting more Guards of Atlantis 2 stuff too. And I've definitely, I mean, we all realize that there are too many games, so I'm making a more concerted effort to slow down, dive back, watch things like this to like learn more about it that can transition me quicker to, learning how to play it and helping teach others and all that sort of stuff. So I really
For
like that.
sure.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, because I also realized I played an awesome 3v3 game last weekend, and I was playing as Wasp. Wasp is one of the level one heroes from the base game, and I was completely underutilizing one of her cards. And every time I would get it, I would be like, oh, okay, like maybe I'll just play this for movement or whatever. And then I learned from either this that guy's video from Ring of Cards or from the guy on Side Room or Side Game LLC. He also like ranks all the characters. One of them I was like, oh my gosh, I could do that with Was. I didn't even know. So I mean, like, there's so much to learn and explore with each character. And now what, there are like 27 of them. Ah, oh, so good. Evergreen game.
I think there's like a nice through line too. You mentioned early on just kind of about like the progressive, maybe a little heavier music that you're listening to and just
Yeah.
like being able to deep dive into that. And then it definitely seems like that's come out in your interest in different types of board games and like
Yeah.
having
Yeah.
these ones that have like 30 different, very wildly different characters. Like,
Yeah. I want to see how they all work together. I want to try them all. Yeah, totally.
that is fantastic. Oh,
Thanks, Ryan.
so speaking of fantastic, kind of at the top mentioned the Board Game Geek podcast, Cardboard Creations. I'm not sure if actually we specifically said that. You mentioned T-Forge, and oh, sorry, the four. Well,
The quad.
the quad. Yeah, I'm like number.
No worries. There's so much content out there. It's hard to keep it all straight.
the quad, and every you were talking about how you just put out the anniversary content for Board Game Geek. There's so many things that people that want to see what you're doing can find from you,
Yeah.
which is fantastic. Rivals of Rock Is there anything else that you kind of want to give a shout out to that you've been working on or have people be on the lookout for at any point in time? I mentioned like eight things and what's more? That's always my thing. It's like
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Ryan. I would say definitely, if you haven't checked out the Board Game Geek podcast, that's kind of my baby, because I just talk to a lot of different people in the board game community and we talk about games and it's very casual. That is, and then also what you can find on any like podcast platform, and it's just called the Board Game Geek podcast. Also Cardboard Creations. I'm probably going to ramp up and start doing more designer interviews. And I've slowly been doing this, but I didn't advertise much, but I'm putting the Cardboard Creations episodes, the existing episodes, out into podcast format as well, because there are a lot of people who have asked over the past couple years that I've been doing it. Like, a lot of people prefer long form content as a podcast, and I get that. So I'm gonna make that happen. But I guess the most fun thing that I want to mention is, and it's kind of related, is I'm gonna be launching like an email newsletter called Squawk and Roll, because my friends joke that like I get called a parrot because I'm like kind of like always awake, and they joke, "Well, we're gonna put the blanket over the cage. I'm all over the place. I'm color, colorful hair, everything." So I've kind of embodied the parrot, but then, but this newsletter is gonna be to kind of be a place where people can, like, I'll share what content I put out, or like stuff like this, collaborations I'll share with people on that list, and also just like talk about some of the music that I'm listening to. So it's all sorts of stuff like that. And I guess the way you can sign up for that is on, if you go to stageleftgame.com, there is a mailing list there, and or a mailing list sign up, because that's what my game used to be called, Stage Left. So I have that domain still. And yeah, feel free to sign up, or after the fact, whatever. I'll probably share on social media when I launch that. But I'm excited about it.
That sounds really like fantastic. I like that idea a lot. I think, especially it's like one of those things where it's more work, right? Like
Yeah.
it's something that needs more work, but it is also just kind of condensing like the current work. So I don't know. It makes
Yeah.
sense. Like I feel like especially with the amount of things that you're doing, that that's a really cool way to like just share it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like for BGG stuff, it's like we have a lot of different shows on like the BGG YouTube channel, and not everybody wants to watch every show. And there are like playlists you can subscribe to and everything, but I kind of want to like share with people who, because I meet a lot of people at conventions who are like, "Oh, I'm very similar to you because I like 18XX, I like war games, I like all this other stuff." And so I just want to kind of find that audience and sh make it easy for them to catch up on happenings with me.
That's awesome. Well, I'll make sure that, well, first off, I'll just link Board Game Geek because people can find your
Yes.
work and you click
Easy
on
to
Board
find
Game
on Board Game
Geek
Geek.
any day there will be something out from you. I'll link that Stage Left website and then also just like your social media as well, and then people can find your stuff. So that'll be really
Yeah,
exciting.
thanks, Ryan. And I will say, I'm not a big social media person. I know it's like you need to do it, but like that was one of the things when I stopped playing music that I realized I was, as I heard on that this TV show called Duncanville, I had scoliosis. Like where I would just like be picking up my phone, checking Instagram, and I was like, "Whoa, this is not healthy." And so I kind of took a step back from it, and I've been happier not doing it as much. Then I started doing it a bit because I was writing news for BGG and I wanted to keep up with games that are coming out. And it's nice to connect with people, but I don't do it that much. I'm, yeah, if you want to talk to me, you can geek mail me on BGG. Candy Drum with an I or Candace at BoardGameGeek.com.
And I and instead of social media, I could always just link Rivals of Rock so that when there are developments there, people can take a look at those. And when that Kickstarter comes out, there'll be
Yeah.
something like super exciting for everybody too.
That'd be awesome. Thanks, Ryan. Yeah, you could subscribe to that game page. And as soon as we have some more updates, we will share them.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for taking all this time out of all those other things that are taking up your time to come on here and chat with me. I really appreciated it.
Well, thanks for inviting me, Ryan. I know, like I said, we've been trying to do this for a while, and like 2024 was a bit crazy for me and unpredictable. So I'm glad we finally got to chat, and it's like very nice to meet you on video instead of just email.
Hey, the email correspondent was great, and outside of like me losing a couple of thoughts, I feel like the way that the thoughts marinated in my head on the whole were much more productive. And if we, the basis story and their like
Yeah.
it would have
It all
never have
timed
happened.
out.
Yes, this
Yeah.
is the way it should have been. It was so much fun, and
That
I'm beyond excited that this podcast is going to be something that all sorts of people can listen to. So.
Thanks, Ryan. I really appreciate it, and I can't wait to listen to more of your podcast episodes, because I looked on the Spotify link you sent me, and I was like, whoa, you have some really good guests, so I'm honored to be like part of the roster now.
Well, yeah, I really appreciate that. And I mean, it's a guest-based podcast, so no one would tune in if it's just me rambling. And I've had, like you said, I've had awesome guests on, and I'm excited. I was super excited when we started communicating about this one and just to see where my weird processes go. So
Love it, love
thanks for
it.
taking part.
Thanks again for having me.
Intertextual Cardboard Experience. The most rocking podcast about board games and any other text that they connect to. Thank you so much for choosing to spend your time here. Any further support, such as sharing the show with friends, following the page's socials in the episode description, writing a review, or doing anything else you can think of is greatly appreciated. Keep playing, watching, reading, listening, experiencing. All right, so here's the note slash epilogue mentioned at the top of the show notes. And without getting too tangential, I think whenever my next solo podcast thing happens, it's going to be a show notes type of episode, both notes on the show and just some processes, perhaps, such as the show notes, because I put forth a bit of effort trying to make them good. Anyway, a specific note about this particular episode is that I made a couple mistakes. The first one, and I guess this is the lesser one, and that's that I had a couple of characters for the final section where we talked about characters with some type of musical ability within board games stored in a buried iPhone note that I finally unearthed, but only had one of the two I thought I found slash thought of. The first of which is the Bard characters in a Massive Darkness 2 expansion. And that was an expansion pack that I bought intentionally due to this musical exploration a bit back and that I still haven't played. So there's probably a greater message in there, which is that I need to slow down, buy less, and play more. That's getting better for sure, but still. Another game I'd purchased because it looked really neat was Sirens, and perhaps fittingly, that game has the same fate as those Massive Darkness 2 characters. I still want to figure out the other game I had for the character section, but alas. A much bigger note is that I had a section with a couple more questions, with the room for more follow-up questions, of course, regarding Candace's Rivals of Rock. I've done note-taking while interviewing, just jotting down a lot of the things being discussed to look into. When I first started the show, that was on paper, and that became an incomprehensible mess, like all the other notes I've taken in my life. So I switched to typing them within my interview scaffolding notes, and that's never really been a problem. Sometimes I'll have to resort my thoughts while bouncing around sections, and sometimes sections will get cut or reorganized due to timing, but in this case, I just straight up lost the section, and I feel pretty silly for it. That said, Candace had some awesome notes on the game that organically tied to the topics we were talking about, but I wish that I could have gotten those spotlighted a little more. Nonetheless, Candace absolutely rocked the episode, so this is probably one of those things that you'd really only notice because I'm bringing it up. Hopefully, some of those thoughts and others can get explored in a future episode because I had an absolute blast here. Thanks for sticking around to listen to this note.